All right, here we go. Three, two, one. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, new episode is posted at WGNplus.com for your listening and binging pleasure. And of course, don't forget, I've got something called a landing page. You'd think after almost 2 years I'd know what a landing page is? I still sort of know what it is. It's a page where you can land on my previous podcasts. And at this point, there will be 91 previous podcasts, because today we are in the midst of episode 92, on our way to 100 at the very least. So strap in for episode 92, and hopefully you listened to episode 91, because an amazing turn of events occurred in the past week since last heard on this weekly podcast. If you recall, a regular contributor to the show, Emily Arminetti, was talking about how her daughter, I was talking about finding lost things and how I was able in a course of 24 hours recently to find two separate things, that my cell phone and like $20. And I did it by retracing my steps. And I was very proud of myself and very happy that I had these keen detective senses to be able to take a deep breath and retrace my steps and visually conjure up all the places I was and where I may have left these certain items. And sure enough, I retraced my steps and found them, and I do that quite often. Not that I lose everything a lot, but when I do misplace, let's not say lost, because I would believe that the definition of lost means that it is gone. I have temporarily misplaced and thankfully, found my phone, my beloved flip phone, and $20 I had mistakenly thrown out in the garbage. So I talked to Emily during the pop culture segment just to break the ice and said, hey, have you ever, lost anything and found anything? And much to our surprise and our good luck, she was in the midst of trying to find a lost stuffed animal that her three-year-old daughter had recently lost. And she said, I can't believe you're asking me about this, because my whole life for the last week has been caught up in trying to find this. So, Emily, are you there?
I'm here.
So, last we heard from you, I suggested, yes, you talked about how you had been retracing your steps and going back over a 2 or 3 day period of when you last saw. Now, what is the name of this stuffed animal?
Pepito.
Now I had a question about this. Is his name Pepito because she named it, or is that the actual name, the brand name of the doll?
No, she named it Pepito.
What kind of doll is it?
It's the brand is Jellycat.
Jellycat.
And they make these Jellycat. And they make these really, nice squishy plush stuffed animals that are made for exactly this purpose. It's you can't just say that this is a stuffed animal. This is her lovey.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like when a kid has a thing that they have to sleep with every single night for their whole childhood, a lovey, that's what this is. This is it's like her whoopee. Remember Mr. Mom?
Right, right. What I think is cool, so how did you come up with the name Pepito, or did she?
No, she came up with it, but I think it was an evolution. I think she started calling him Puppy, And then the name just evolved into Papito.
Because I didn't know if she was bilingual.
Well, we do live in Austin, so there's definitely that influence here, you know?
Because I actually went, after our talk last week, I went online to look up Papito, and I couldn't find any Papito dolls.
Right. No, the brand is Jellycat.
Oh, okay.
It's Jellycat.
Even though it's a cat, he's a dog. How does that work, though?
Well, that's the Jellycat brand stuffed animals come in all different forms. And fact, James had a little, his very first toy ever was sent to us by some friends in London before he was even born, when we were expecting him. Or actually, maybe he was born. He'd just been born. But they sent him this little, it's like a corduroy, same idea, plush stuffed animal. It was a blue corduroy, is it a dog? I'm trying to think if it was a dog or an elephant, but we called him Cordy Roy.
Cordy Roy.
Cordy Roy, but I have to say, Cordy nice. Roy, we still have Cordy Roy, and he's very special, I'll hang on to it, but Cordy Roy never really took off with James the way that Papito did with our daughter. I mean, this is like, this was her main guy.
So here's the story.
But yeah, the Jellycat animals, even though they're called Jellycat, they make all different kinds. They make puppies, bunnies, kitties, the whole gamut.
So here's the thing. So when we left the story last week, folks, Papito was still lost, and so I suggested, and Emily told the tales of how they were retracing their steps as I had suggested, and she went back to the mall and these other different places.
And you know what? Canvassing. I was literally canvassing Austin.
Yeah,
like anything within Austin city limits. Right. I was there.
I saw Papito on a milk carton.
Yeah, right.
So anyway, so I said to Emily, I said, she sounds like she exhausted every avenue here to try to find it, going back to all the stores and the mall that they went to, different places amongst this 2 or 3 day window when she may have lost the doll. And so I suggested, look, you know, your daughter's
only... And you've got, I was reviewing like video footage, security camera footage in our home. When was the last time Papito was seen on the TV monitor?
Yeah, right.
It was a very forensic operation, yes.
And even though you tried to use technology and newfangled ways, once again, it was good old Elton Jim who came to the rescue.
Yes. Yes, Elton Jim, the creator of the Retrace Your Steps.
All I could say is, and I will say it now, and then I will have another payoff at the end, but I will do a little spoiler alert right now by saying you're welcome, because I suggested that she buy another doll. Her daughter's only 3. She probably won't even remember losing Papito. So I said, look, you can fudge this a little. Go buy a new doll. You know, mess it up a little, dirty it up so it looks like it's used. She'll never know the difference. You'll have a great story many years later to say, not only, you know, just so you know, this is Papito part 2, you know, version 2.0, because we had lost him, but you loved him so much that we bought you another one, and so here he is. And Emily told this heartwarming story of as to why Papito was potentially so important to her. It was because when she moved out of the country for a while to live in London, her mom had one of her favorite dolls, you know, Emily's favorite dolls when she was a little girl, and she hid it in her luggage. And so when Emily got to England, into London, and was there sort of on her own, starting a new life for a while, she opened up her bag, and there was this stuffed animal, and it was so heartwarming. So you would hope to maybe do that with your daughter. So you were very depressed because you wouldn't have had Papito. So I said, look, you know.
Yes.
So when we left it last week, I suggested you go buy a Papito, and you actually were open to that idea, even though it was a little fudging. You said, you know, that's not a bad idea. So when we said goodbye to you, the hope was that either you would find Papito, or perhaps you would buy a replacement Papito, and put him in, and maybe nobody would catch on, and 25 years from now, then you could do the same little thing that your mom did for you, and everybody would be happy, and you'd have this nice little lost Papito, replaced Papito story.
Yes.
But fate and my some fate, but more my advice played a played a key role. So
I was going to suggest it were an intervention, but okay, your advice.
So now explain the next day what happened.
Well, no. So what happened was, after I hung up the phone with you, I made a few more calls and a few more places I needed to call. But I had already called. I mean, I had been to several places, like dozens of places. I had called. You have no idea. That particular weekend, we were so busy. We were running here, there, and everywhere. We made so many stops. So I made a few more calls, no luck. And then I got out the computer and I said, okay, I'm just going to buy a new one.
I'm going to listen to Elton Jim and I'm going to buy a new one.
Take Elton Jim's advice. I'm just going to bite the bullet and buy a new one.
Right.
So I'm Googling around and, you know, it turns out like they don't really sell this particular puppy anymore. I mean, the brand still sells loads of these animals, but it's a poodle style puppy. The pink poodle is very hard to find. It's sold out in a bunch of places. And then I thought to myself, well, I think I mentioned even when we talked last week that there's a local, it's kind of like a hardware store, but a fancy hardware store. You can get more, it's got a hardware side and then it also has home stuff in it. But I think I mentioned that at one point I walked into this place with my daughter and there was a whole bin of puppitos.
Right.
And she like gasped because she just could not believe
right.
how many puppitos were there. So I thought, oh, I wonder, maybe they still have some. They had this one that was a while ago. I don't know, but I'll check. So I jump online and, you know, I think they do have a website, which I was going to hop on. But when I Googled them, it kind of popped up their address. And then it was like immediately jogged it was almost like it's someone, like I said, divine intervention. Like it popped into my head. Across the street from this place is a grocery store that I really rarely go to. But last week, after we hit every shop in the mall, we were on our way home, and I realized, oh, we're out of dishwasher pods. And I've got a full dishwasher. The kids were acting up. It was time to get them home and get them to bed. I fed them at the mall. And I thought, oh, I really can't bear another stop with these kids, but I just have to do it. I've got to get the dishwasher pods. So we went into this grocery store that I almost never go to, and I think to myself, okay, I mean, every other place I called, I was so sure it was there. I mean, I'm sure it's not there, but I'm just going to call. It'll be yet another rejection, but you know what? This is a Hail Mary. I call the place. The guy, they put me through to customer service. I say to the guy, I know this sounds really strange, remember, I've been through this about 60 times.
Yeah, you've got the whole spiel now, right, I assume, right?
Yeah, I've had the whole range of reactions
right.
to it, too. From people who were totally understanding, I get it, I understand this whole idea of a lovey, to people who were like, a what? Like they'd never heard of a stuffed animal before. So I call, and the guy answers, and I'm like, oh. I know this sounds really strange, but I was in there with my daughter the other day, and I think she may have lost something. And he's like, okay, describe the item. I said, well, it's a pink puppy, like a stuffed animal. And he goes, a pink puppy? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, that thing's been kicking around here for days. And I said, wait, are you sure?
Oh, my
like,
God.
Really, truly, are you telling me you really have a pink puppy there? And he goes, well, let me describe it to you. It's pink.
And it's a puppy.
Like, potbelly. It's a puppy. And he goes, and it's real beat up. And I'm like, that's it. It's puppy. So.
Oh, my God.
I said to him, I don't know if I can make it there tonight to pick it up.
Oh.
Will you please? And he said, oh, don't worry. We'll keep it here for you. Don't you worry. So I thought, oh, I can't really. I don't think I have time. And, you know, the kids have to go to bed soon, whatever. But then I thought, you know what? I have to get this puppy back.
Oh, you had to go that day. You had to go that day, right?
I had to go.
Yes.
So I put, right, so James was at basketball practice. I put my daughter in the car in her jammies and drove her down to the grocery store, and there we walked in, and I led her to the customer service counter, and they had him propped up on the window behind the counter, and she just went, Papito! And it was Papito's triumphant return.
Did you get a picture or a video of that at all?
Well, I tried to actually take a video of her reaction to it, but I thought I hit the button and I didn't, but I did take some pictures. I sent you a couple photos.
Yeah, I saw the pictures.
Her.
Oh.
She was hugging Papito.
Oh, I know. She had an ear-to-ear smile. So you were saying last week that you were actually a little more, affected by the loss because, she was, but she wasn't. But it sounds as if when she saw him, then she really, it triggered her again.
Yeah, so it's a weird thing because, he definitely has the status of, I can't go to sleep without him. If this had been, honestly, a week ago, if he'd been lost a week prior, she would have refused to nap or go to bed without Papito. But for some reason, maybe it's that she sensed my, anguish over this, but she kind of had laid off the whole, she sort of wasn't insisting at bedtime, I need Papito, where's Papito, and I wasn't saying anything because I was I haven't seen him around in a while. I'm like, I got to get to the bottom of this and search the house, which is always where you start,
Right.
And then it slowly started to set in, I haven't seen him in a while. And my husband had been out of town for several days. And so I was very stretched and I had, everything I was, cutting corners here, there, and everywhere, as you do when you're, kind of acting as a single parent, because you're just trying to get through every day with everyone alive still, and so I'm cutting corners, I'm not really paying as close attention as I normally would be, and so it was kind of a weird time, and so then it slowly started to set in, whoa, it's been a couple days since I've seen this puppy, and I've looked, once I searched the whole house and he wasn't here, I thought,
we're
in trouble now.
Before we spoke, did you ever think of replacing Papito, or did you just feel like, if I can't find the original, then he's gone forever?
I think I told you last week, my feeling about replacing him was it just wouldn't be the same,
right?
And she wouldn't know, but I would know. And part of this was the sentimental value that he had to me, in a way, having gone through that, that whole ceremonious, whatever you call it, thing with my mom as an adult, giving me my special doll. And so I didn't really consider it seriously.
Right,
then after I hung up the phone with you, I thought, I need to figure something out here.
See, so all I have to say is, once again, you're welcome. But I had the next day, I sent Emily an email and just said, fun podcast. And that was really fun, that whole Papito story. And then she goes and sends me the picture of her daughter with it. And I was like, oh my God, this is a crazy ending. And as I said, I felt very happy in that I was able to help you find the doll, because, as I said, I'm always one who loves to take credit. So I just want the audience to understand that if I had not suggested that you buy another one, then you would not have thought of that other store that you had not gone back to or called. Right.
As much as I hate to admit it, it was looking up the local store
where
I thought I maybe could get one, another one.
Right.
That jogged my memory, and it was so crazy the way it just popped into my head that there was this one extra copy made. And it goes back to what you were saying, too. It's that you really don't even remember how many movements you actually have. I mean, that was an entire trip to a store, which, although we were only there to get one thing, I actually agonized over whether to do it or not, because it was late in the day, the kids were acting up, it was time to get them to bed. you know, all I wanted to do was get them home. The last thing I wanted was another stop, get everybody right. Out of the car seats, into the store, pay, out of the store, you know, back into the car seats. So I really didn't want to, but it was, you know, I cannot go. If I go the night without the dishwashing pod,
right.
The dishes don't get washed. And doesn't work
so explain the feeling. When you saw that, or not, I guess not even when you saw it, when the guy on the phone told you.
Oh.
I mean, was it relief? Like, what was the emotion, though? Was it relief? Was it joy? Was it, I mean, what was sort of going through your mind? Like, was it just, were you just incredulous? You couldn't believe it, or what?
Okay, so my initial thought was, this guy is messing with me. Oh. You know, I'm a person calling about a pink puppy, and he's playing games with me, which is why I was like, are you sure? Are you sure? You really do have it? And because I there was a part of me that was like, don't mess with me here, buddy. You know,
right.
Like, this is, you could be like, you could either like make my year, or you could completely devastate me right now.
Right.
And then when I realized, no, he's really got it, as soon as he said, oh, it's real beat up, I was like, there's no way he could know that unless he had Pepito. And so I'm not kidding you when I say I was jumping up and down.
Isn't that an amazing?
With the phone in my hand.
Isn't that a great feeling when you find something? I can't even describe it. I don't know what that feeling is. It's a very unique feeling, because there is a, especially when something's been lost for a while, there's this sense of resignation in your mind that you will,
and you feel helpless.
That you will not find it again. And so,
it's also because you know it's out there somewhere.
Right.
You know, it's out there. You just don't know where, and you will never know again.
Now, do you think, now I know you said that this grocery store where you stopped is not a place that you frequent on a regular basis.
No, when I go to the grocery store, I go to a totally different grocery store.
But do you think you would have gone in the next week or two, or even the last month?
No.
Do you think you wouldn't have stopped in there by just out of necessity?
Okay, maybe a month, well, over the course of a month, maybe I would pop in there, but only if I needed like one or two things and if I happen to be driving by it. See, that's the other thing that's key to this, is that it's on the way home from the mall, so I happen to be driving by that one, not my regular one, which is why I stopped in there.
Now, do you think that Pepito was he under a counter, or was he propped up in this window all the time like the mascot of the store?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. So the guy that I spoke to on the phone, I do not think was the same guy who was there when we came to collect Pepito. I think he had gone home for the day, and I wonder if that's why he left him up. Because we came in, and then I saw him, but my daughter had not, like, oh yeah, actually she was with me. We saw him, we got real excited, but then there was no one there to, like, let us.
Right.
We couldn't access behind the counter.
So there he is, and you can't get him.
Yes, right. So I had to go to a register to say to someone, and that when I said to the guy, I was like, yeah, we have a pink puppy over there, and he's just behind the counter. We can't get to him. And he was like, what? So it was not the guy that I spoke to over the phone.
Right.
So we'll never really know, like, the answer to that question, because I don't know if the guy had him there the whole time or if he left him there.
Now, do you think...
Because he was like, well, I got to go home.
So who wound up giving you the stuffed animal then?
So, yeah, so it was a guy who had been working behind a cash register.
Did he ask you for any? I mean, how does he know that this is your Pepito?
Oh,
you know what I mean. What if
did he ask you for any proof?
Well, yeah, I mean, what if someone just came in and said, "I want that dog," and they said, "Oh, this is my daughter's," and then you walked in next and said, "Where's my Pepito?" And they said, "Oh, a woman just came in and took him."
He did not ask me for proof. I would have easily been able to come up with it, because when I was searching around online trying to find, but there were at some point they made a slightly newer, different version of Pepito, and I was trying to figure out which one was the one that she had.
Yeah.
And so I started going through my phone. You would not believe how many photos, it turns out, I have of my daughter with Pepito. So I even had a photo of just Pepito from the time when we left him at the bus stop.
What?
And I went back the
Wait a minute. That's stuffed animal abandonment. Wait a minute. I mean, is there a DSFS? What is that? The department?
DCFS?
Yeah, for stuffed animals?
There should be.
You left Pepito at a bus stop?
Maybe there's a stuffed animal cruelty unit.
You left Pepito at a bus stop?
When I told you last week that I, at some point, why it never occurred to me to put an actual dog collar on this thing, and with a tag that says, "If lost, please call this number."
Have you done
because
that?
We've lost him twice at Nordstrom. We left him at the bus stop once, which we didn't know right away, and then we put that together. So the time that we realized that we must have left him at the bus stop, and I went down there, and there he was, sitting on a bench. There's a bench at the bus stop.
Look at the adventures that this doll has been through.
This
is worse than Paddington. You should write a child's book.
I know, but that's also what was making it so, like, it was so upsetting because every other time, just to be clear, every other time we have misplaced Pepito, we'll say misplaced.
Right.
He has returned home in less than 24 hours from the time he was last spotted. We have never gone like 3 or 4 days.
Okay, so now, so here's my question then. Okay, now you've had Pepito for a week, right?
Yes.
Okay, now I suggested that you go to the vet and put one of those chips in Pepito so if he gets lost, they could just scan him. But my question now is, have you taken measures in a week?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
To make sure that, so to my point, do you have a tag on him or do you have some kind? Okay. As I said, my suggestion was to perhaps put a little elastic ring on Pepito somewhere so your daughter could actually put him around her wrist. So that she wouldn't ever drop him because the doll would be connected to her. So have you taken steps or is Pepito still possibly another victim of misplacement again?
Is he still at high risk?
Yeah, it sounds.
He's a high risk Pepito.
Is he still high risk? You haven't done this?
I have not had a microchip implanted yet because I don't want to be committed to an insane asylum.
But you haven't put anything on him?
He has not been allowed to leave the house. Okay? He's under house arrest.
This is all. What are you talking about?
Until he's perfectly safe in the house.
No. He's been left at bus stops and grocery stores. This Pepito is not safe. I'm calling in the stuffed animal. I'm calling the gunned authorities. I'm calling gunned. No, you can't. When you hang up today, you put some sort of identification on that stuffed animal. Now stop this. This cannot go on.
That's what I'm going to have to do. I cannot attach him to my daughter because within 10 seconds, she'll be like, "I don't want this attached."
But then put a collar on him. Then put a collar with your name and address.
This is
outrageous behavior.
I just told you he's under house
arrest. His house arrest is being overseen by a 3-year-old girl who we know has left him in the past. She cannot be trusted.
Do you know what we need? Actually, we need one of those. You know those ankle monitoring
bracelets
that they give the people under house arrest. That's what we need for Pepito.
For you?
Where can I get one of those?
Need one for you. Forget Pepito. This is child abuse.
You're putting me under house.
Yes, there is, because you haven't learned your lesson. You haven't learned. I don't blame Pepito. I don't blame your 3-year-old daughter. I don't care if your husband's away for 4 months. I don't care how stressed you are or stretched you are. Get some ID on that dog.
Okay, as soon as we hang up the phone, I will tie a ribbon around his neck with my phone number.
Yes.
I will quadruple knot it.
If lost, please call.
Yes.
And put his name in there. Put, please return Pepito. Because, because seriously, I think if by putting his name on there,
people will understand.
Well, they will understand, or they will feel more. You will personalize it as opposed to someone just seeing it and say, oh, who cares? They'll be like, oh, wait a minute, this thing has a name. It's important to somebody, and like I said, they will actually, because I mean, I'll give you credit. That was your idea. Even though you know, you're good in ideas, bad on follow.
Thank
you're,
you. No, thank you.
Yeah, but
thank
here's the difference. You're horrible on follow through. You're horrible on execution.
Well, you know what? At least I'm not throwing $20 bills. Okay.
Yeah, but I'm finding them.
People who live in glass houses. Okay.
But you have to. I mean, that is lesson one. See, because, and this is a good teaching lesson, because your daughter needs to see. Like, when you do that, make sure you say to her, too, because this is a good teaching lesson for her to say, okay, now look at what we're doing here. We're going to make sure, you know, mommy has learned her lesson. And we're going to make sure that Pepito does not get lost again. We're going to put on this nice collar or whatever this is so that when if we do lose him, we won't have to we'll have a better way to, you know, to track him down. But, wow. So really excited that I was able to help you find it. But I got to tell you, you know, this is a part of the story that I didn't know. Part two here. Is that you did not take the right steps.
You know what? I told you. He has not been allowed out of the house.
Doesn't
matter. I don't feel bad for that. But
what, was he allowed to be left at Randall's?
No, but he was allowed out of the house.
But no,
this incident. Here's what I'm gonna do.
What I want,
I will go down to the infamous mall, okay, that I now have tracked. They have a Build-A-Bear place there.
Oh, nice, right.
And I guarantee that I can find at the Build-A-Bear, because they sell all kinds of accessories. And, you know, it's not just bears there. They have every kind of thing. Anything you can stuff, they have it there. And they have all kinds of accessories. They have, you know, they have shoes and combs and,
First.
So I guarantee they have you know, a tag or a collar.
All right, well,
and I will go
measure his,
and I will get
so measure his neck.
Oh, now I have to get the tape measure.
Measure his neck so that you know the right size so that it doesn't get loose. So it's nice and snug. Make sure that it's a collar that if I did find it, I would be able to clearly see the name and that so it's not hidden. And and here's what I have to tell you. When you go to this store to get this collar, put Pepito in a drawer. Do not take him with you.
Oh, no. He's not coming
back.
He is not allowed out. He's under house arrest.
Well, but he needs to be. Then put him in a cage because he has to be in another. Your front door is not enough. He needs another.
He needs another layer of security.
He needs a drawer.
Maximum security.
He needs a drawer, a bin, a closet, a hat box. Anything.
You know what I have? You know what I have in my house? It was here when we moved in. I personally would never own one of these, but it already existed when I moved in. There is a safe.
Oh,
in my closet.
Perfect.
It has a, you know, you have to punch in a code just to get it open.
All right. Then that's where he goes.
I can put him in the safe.
That.
Talk about maximum security.
That. Okay.
You would have to, like, used dynamite all to right. get
well,
that
then
thing
that's what,
mounted in the house.
Well, clearly, based on your history with this stuffed animal and its horrible treatment and its multiple misplacements, he needs to be in that safe.
Okay, listen. I think you're forgetting all of the man hours that went into searching for this dog. I wouldn't exactly say he was mistreated. He is very beloved.
But I understand that, but he's been carelessly left in a variety
of
places.
But you and I have different
What I mean,
I told you that last week. I told you that last
think
week.
Think about the and odds of you finding that thing at the bus stop. At the bus stop. I mean, that should have been
the bus stop. No, the bus stop is better though than like the mall, because in that instance, we knew that there had only been like one place outside of the house.
Yeah, but he's outside. He's open to the elements. He's open to anybody walking by.
Yes, overnight, he was. But
overnight?
No, people,
oh!
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So people in our neighborhood would not just grab it.
Wow.
No, they would not just grab something that's not
there. All right. Well,
we have some good neighbors. We
I understand
neighbors.
That. But the lesson here is, which should have been learned several times before, is to put your name,
you know,
and address and phone number on that doll.
I was very grateful to you, but now I'm like, I can't wait until you lose something else. I can't wait.
And just like you sent me a photo of her with the doll,
yeah.
I want a photo of the collar with your name on it.
No, I know.
I would love to be able, you know, once again, you know, I would love to be able to trust you. I would have been an awesome parent because I would have said, I give you enough rope until you prove that you can't be trusted with the rope. So now I need photo evidence of the thing.
Okay. So, I have my homework.
Yes, but I'm grateful and thankful that this story, which was such a crazy story to begin with, has a crazy ending. Wow.
And it was the timing was so weird that you happened to be talking about that, because
right.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I never know what you're... See, that's the thing. I don't ever know what you're talking about in your first segment, so I had no idea that you were going to ask me.
And I wasn't even going to ask you about that at all, because we had another. We always have a topic, more or less.
Yeah.
You know, planned. We don't plan it out in great detail, but we're going to talk about this. And I just sometimes I, you know, based on how much time we have left or whatever, sometimes I will go right into your specific topic, or sometimes I'll just, you know, to break the ice, I'll you know, ask your opinion on what I just talked about. And so if I hadn't done that. If I just said, so, Emily, what do you think about this in the pop culture world, and pretended that that first segment hadn't even existed, then, once again, Pepito would still be at Randall's.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I would know.
Yeah.
You know,
wow.
I don't think I would have. I do not think that everything would have unfolded the way it did.
Well,
we not discussed it.
Well, so. I'm glad we shared, and I'm glad that I was able to help you, as I said before. You're welcome.
Yeah, you did. As I said before, I take all of the credit.
And once again, it pays to listen to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, another satisfied customer.
Yes.
And now we return to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. And now we will go to the Pop Culture Club segment with Emily. And are you there, Emily?
I'm still here.
Okay. And so, I don't know, Emily, did you hear the last segment?
Yes, you're an amazing person.
Okay. Yeah, there it is. So now it's official. Because there's the Pop Culture Club theme.
Yeah.
So now it's official. We are in Pop Culture Club mode. So here is the topic that we were going to talk about last week that we didn't, and it actually may be more timely anyway, because I wanted to talk to you about the Olympics, which are now in full gear. And I'm just wondering, we're now a week and a half in when this first gets posted. And I'm just wondering, at this point in our culture, given how sports is all over the place, given how many options we have for entertainment and different formats, is anybody really watching the Olympics anymore? I mean, do you care about the Olympics?
I mean, I don't, and I find as the years go on, I care even less. I mean, I think I used to really, I used to like to watch certain sports. So I'm not the person who ever tuned in to, you know, oh, the Olympics are going to be on for the next 2 weeks, and every time the TV's on, it's going to be on the whatever Olympic event is being shown. But I used to really enjoy, you know, Summer Olympics watching gymnastics, and then Winter Olympics watching ice skating, of course. And then maybe some of the track events in the summer. But over time, I find I care less and less.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Are you watching?
Yeah, no, I'll tell you. I mean, I have found exactly what you're saying over the and I've always. I mean, you have to remember now. I'm about 10 years older than you, so. When there was, but do you remember the days before? You remember the days before cable television, right or no?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember getting cable.
Yeah.
I remember it being installed in our
house
and we were all really excited about it.
You know, so, I mean, you know, I came into memory, consciousness of things in the 70s as a little kid. And, you know, back then there were the three networks And so when ABC would always have the Olympics, and it was every 4 years, so that added to the mystique, and they had the winter and the summer games in 1 year. It was an Olympic year. And so that whole year was relatively dominated by the Olympics. And because there was only three major networks to watch, in addition, there was some UHF channels that you could hardly get on your antenna and maybe PBS. This became a major event. And the other networks, you know, they even laid down their arms. They didn't even try to counter program because the Olympics were such a big deal. Especially at that time in the 70s, when I'm remembering it, we were in the throes of the Cold War with the Soviet Union and communism. And so there was a political aspect and a cultural aspect. There was a lot more nationalism involved. USA, USA. You know, the whole idea of the Olympics on television was really a perfect storm in that, you know, it was, you know, suddenly, even when television started in the late 40s and early 50s, as I said, you're in the Cold War, so there was this U.S., you know, democracy versus communism, and then, you know, suddenly you had this device that brought these far lands, things happening halfway around the world, into your living room. So it became a tradition, and it became a major event, and for many years it was, but now, just like you're saying, I think there's that we've had a major shift in our culture. The Taliban doesn't have a hockey team.
Right.
You know? So, back in the 60s and 70s and especially, my gosh, 1980, you know, with the hockey thing, there was this natural enemy, this natural rival that wasn't just, a team, but a country and a philosophy. And so it really added drama and importance. And I think ever since communism went away, I think the Olympics have lost their luster. And now with so many options, especially with streaming now, I mean, I just don't see the average person, really getting into the Olympics as much. And I think the fact that to drum up the importance of it, they did this kind of every other 2 year thing that there's a winter and then 2 years later there's a summer and then there's a winter, so it doesn't feel you know, they always want the Olympics on your mind, but there actually was something important about it when it only happened once every 4 years. So I'm wondering, you know, these networks pay billions of dollars.
Oh yeah.
For the rights, and these cities pay billions of dollars in infrastructure rebuilding.
Oh yeah.
I read somewhere this week that it costs like $15 billion for a host city to retrofit itself, and they only maybe make about $6 billion back.
Well, yeah. So you have like over 30 different athletic venues you have to build. You need an Olympic Village. Yeah. You know, you need housing and production facilities. And when everything is said and done, a lot of those, you know, facilities end up going into like ruin and state of disrepair because these cities don't always necessarily know how to convert them into something useful once the games are over.
Yeah.
But like, it's interesting you're talking about how much it costs to host the Olympics. Just bidding for the Olympics. Like, I think the Chicago 2016 bid, which of course, you know, we didn't win, cost over $70 million.
Yeah. And not
only people who worked on that bid, they did not expect to lose that bid, let alone lose it.
Oh my gosh.
Early on in the bidding processes we did. But
you know what? I could have put my own bid in and done exactly what Chicago did for about $30 million.
low price of $30 million.
Chicago came in fourth out of four.
I know. Well, you know, and then there's a whole other separate conversation about, you know, the whole bidding process.
Yeah, right. But, yeah. I actually think that if the Olympics are going to really continue to thrive, and I don't know, I mean, this year, the Winter Olympics are always weird because, there's some, like you said, there's always the figure skating, which is always popular and certainly was helped in 1994 by, Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan, but that's always been popular. But, you know, some of the winter sports like curling, you know, with that brick and the brooms, or even the luge, and sometimes the skiing. Now, you've noticed, I don't know if you watch a lot, but, you know, they're trying to appeal to the millennials by showing a lot of the snowboarding events as opposed to, like, the regular downhill.
When they first added those events to the Olympics, I believe they did it to start appealing to a younger audience.
So, I mean,
like, that was the whole genesis of adding some of the more extreme sports, I guess.
I mean, I just think that, you know, we have, as a culture, we have changed. As I said, the Olympics were always about, especially in my lifetime, were always about nationalism and national pride. And they did have this, you know, since they were every once every 4 years, like a leap year, they did have this sense of importance. And I really think that, once again, the advent of the, and I always come back to this, but you cannot, in my view, you cannot underestimate the impact and influence that this iPhone has had on our culture. And it has made us more individualistic, less communal. And I even think less of a communal in terms of our country having a national pride. I mean, right now we're in the throes that literally half the country not only doesn't like the president, they despise the president.
Right.
So, I mean, we've got such a cultural divide in our own country that I don't know that a sport or an event like this can really rally us together. And once again, I mean, I don't know how old you were. Do you remember the 1980, hockey gold medal or no?
No, I think the earliest of kind of the Olympic kind of spectacular triumphs that I remember would probably be more like the Mary Lou Retton kind of perfect 10 type.
Yeah, I mean,
a little bit, it was like 84.
Yeah,
I think.
Because I mean, that thing in 1980 at Lake Placid, I mean, not only was it, I mean, it was, talk about drama. I mean, not only was it the U.S. versus Russia in that game, but it was at the height of, the Cold War. Reagan had just been elected. And so he was a real anti-communist Russian hawk. So there was all this brewing. It was in the United States at Lake Placid. It was the mean Russians who always won that were always, you know, they were always, you know, accused of having professional athletes under the guise of being amateurs. And here, the United States, at that time, the pros were not allowed to participate. So it was mostly young college guys up against these guys that were officially, that were as good as pros, but they were in the quote unquote Russian army. So there was all this intrigue, all this, you know, off the playing field drama. And now I just don't feel that there's that kind of a connection anymore. And now, once again, I told you I'm new now. I've jumped into the stream, so I'm Netflix. Yeah. I'm Netflixing now. So
right.
I don't watch the Olympics at all. I may watch some of the figure skating.
No,
I'm watching Ozark and Derek and, you know, Arrested Development and The Crown and Stranger
Things. It's like a whole new world.
Yeah, straight. So, I mean, I don't know anything about luges or anything.
Right. Well, you know, I think also, like you said, I mean, there used to be this intrigue, but, like, now the drama that happens outside of the sport is more like a sideshow almost. You know, like, if you're watching the news, you don't even have to be watching the game, but there are all these sideshow things going on. Like, you know, they kicked off with this big norovirus outbreak in Pyeongchang, just as, like, people started to arrive. You know, the luge track is wonky. There's a problem with the luge track.
Right.
The coach of the Jamaican bobsled team has quit and is threatening to take their sled. Okay, that just happened today. And also, I think that this also happened just today. There's like a Kim Jong-un impersonator running around crashing the different games. So it's like all of these things start to take the focus off the actual game. But that said, I mean, I still like the idea of bringing people together from different cultures and countries around the world in the spirit of competition and excellence. And I do like, I have watched a few of the events with James because I think that in many ways, athletes, especially Olympic athletes, can be good role models for kids, or at least show them if you work really hard at something, you know, you can achieve anything, you know, because the Olympics are kind of like, you know, that's it. That's like, as you know,
I think you're right. And I think there, but I just, you know, I just wonder that lesson, which is, you know, valid. I just wonder if, like, how long is it going to be before network television says, you know what, this is not worth it anymore, and we're going to put this on ESPN? Or, I mean, look, mm-hmm. at Monday Night Football went from a network show to a cable show. I'm just wondering, it was always this major event, you know, hold the presses, the Olympics are on, everybody shut down for 3 weeks because the Olympics are on. And now you don't sense that. I don't get that sense from the viewer or the country. I mean, you know, Shaun White just won. And the, if you talk about side stories, I don't know if you saw this, but so Shaun White is the snowboarder. He won.
Yes.
And then he had the American flag and he was dragging it on the ground.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Because all I've seen is like
all of
the hype about his winning the 100th medal.
No, he wins this and he has this flag on, but he's, you know, raising his hands and screaming. And meanwhile, he's dragging and stepping on the flag as he's walking.
No.
So now in the midst of his, it was like a James Franco moment. In the midst of his triumph, everybody on Twitter was tweeting, does this guy real? Would he stop walking on our flag?
Yes. That actually surprises me, especially from an athlete who's been to multiple Olympics. I mean, this is not like a 16-year-old kid who just rocked up at the Olympics. He knows the drill.
But
I'm
wondering, once again,
he would know better.
But this is my point about just the nationalism. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. You have kids. I don't. Your son, now what grade is your son in?
Second.
Okay. When they start school, do they say the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes, they do, but we are in Texas. Do not forget that. So they say the Pledge of Allegiance every morning. they say there's a an honor the Texas flag pledge that we do.
Oh, really?
And yes.
Wow.
And then there's a moment of silence.
Oh, really?
Every morning.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
So even in the public schools.
So yes, in the public schools.
Wow.
So,
oh, interesting. Yeah. Which,
but things are way more traditional,
yeah.
I think, generally speaking, in Texas,
yeah,
than any other place I've lived.
Yeah.
And I've bounced around a lot. So they do still say the pledge. That's
but I'm just
important.
Wondering how I right now I don't feel a lot of nationalism or national pride, or like I said, our communal experiences are lessening every year the more that technology pushes things more toward the individual as opposed to the communal aspect. It used to be,
yeah,
you know, like I said, three networks, Olympics were on, everybody watched them. It wasn't just Olympics. There were more communal events that everyone watched. Everybody, you know, and I was too young for this, obviously, but, you know, when you talk to a certain age group, they all saw Elvis on Ed Sullivan, or they saw the Beatles. Where were you when the Beatles were? I mean, everybody watched these specific events. And when you look at the history of the Olympics, like I said, even in the last 40 or 50 years, they have been very momentous in terms of, you had the 1968, there was that, the Tommy Smith put the black fist up for black power
mm-hmm.
in 1968, mm-hmm. which is still a momentous occasion. In 72, mm-hmm. Some Palestinian terrorists kidnapped and killed nine Israeli hostages in Munich. There was actually a movie about that Spielberg mm-hmm. did. That was in 72. And then you had, as I said, the 1980 U.S. hockey team beats the Russians. You had the 1994 Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan thing. And to your point about role models, I mean, there was people like Mark Spitz and Olga Corbett and Mary Lou Retton and Dorothy Hamill. And now, Bruce Jenner. And now Michael Phelps. So there certainly have been, a lot of athletes who have epitomized, to your point, the dedication and the achievement and the hard work,
the commitment it takes.
Yeah. So,
yeah, but that's the thing. It's like that you can. It shows. I think it's nice to show, especially younger generations, that with enough of that commitment and dedication and determination, you can be the best in the world, and that's what winning an Olympic gold medal sort of signifies.
Yeah, I mean, I just wonder, I mean, there's so many, now this whole scandal with, this Olympic doctor that was abusing all these women over years. I mean, there's been so many.
Yeah.
So the Olympics has definitely have taken a hit image-wise, I think interest-wise. There's been so much, corruption about how the cities are chosen. And to your point, like you said, so many these cities, they spend so many billions on
mm-hmm.
infrastructure and on stadiums, and then those things go into disrepair. I think two things are going to happen that should, if you wanted my view on what needs to do to make this. First of all, there needs to be, forget all this BS with host cities. The Olympics started in Greece, in one city. There needs to be just one Olympic city forever. Every 2 years.
Interesting.
It have a climate, or maybe you have two Olympic cities. One Olympic city for the winter, one Olympic city for the Summer Olympics, and that's it. None of this BS with all these, like you said, you're spending all this money, $70 million on just trying to compete for it. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. There's no need to rebuild all these cities and then all this stuff goes to waste. Pick two cities, build those stadiums, keep those stadiums up. Those are the official Olympic towns. You build those beautiful villages and they're there forever. And as I said, I think that you're going to wind up seeing the Olympics go off of network television, because I can't believe that NBC or ABC or CBS are going to continue to pay these billions of dollars for very little returns. Right now, as it stands, I don't see any. There's no buzz at all going on about these Olympics.
Well, I think, this is the thing. What it is going to come down to is money, and it's really going to be, like, let's say an NBC who ultimately pulls the plug on it, if it gets pulled, and it will be about the fact that they're not making any money. Right now, though, I think it seems like they're still all in on it. I mean, when I put on my 10 minutes of the Today Show in the morning to catch the headlines. You know, they've got Hoda.
Oh, well, they have to be in now. Oh, no, they are. My point is moving forward. I mean, if they've already paid the bills, they've already bought the rights, so they have to be all in it. My thing is, in 20 years, I don't know how far out they've already bought the rights for the next Olympics, but I'm just saying is that whenever that is done, I think there's going to be some very serious question as to, does this become a network event? It's already been a shared event to some extent. They put some stuff on USA Network and things like that, some other, you know, smaller events. But I'm just wondering how long it's going to be before the Olympics are solely not on network television, because I'm just not seeing the – I saw a some kind of a statistic that the millennials, like 32% of the millennials planned on watching. And while it was people in their 50s and over was 65%, because people my age and older – we grew up with those Olympics being a big deal, whereas the younger generations like you and then even people younger than you, that sense of specialness and of just like this amazing, unique, once-in-a-lifetime event, the Olympics have lost a lot of that luster. So hopefully they will continue to your point, which I think is a very good point, and it's probably a point that a parent would make, and that makes sense, is that it does provide a nice stable of potential role models for our children, our younger generation, to show that hard work does pay off. But at the same time, I'm just wondering, are they kind of outdated, you know, in terms of their importance, because there is so much sports everywhere. I mean, you could just watch any sport, anytime, anywhere. You know, that, I mean, we're just so inundated with sports as it is. So we shall see. But interesting stuff there. All I can say is, as far as this podcast is concerned, Emily, you get a gold.
A perfect 10.
Perfect 10.
I'll give you...
You stuck your landing.
You get the perfect 10 for helping us find Pepito.
Yeah, I'll give you a gold for finding Pepito, but I'm giving you a bronze for not putting a tag on him. We'll talk to you next week. Keep that puppy safe.
I will.
All right, thanks, Tim. Take care. And that wraps up episode 92 of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted on WGNplus.com. So go there, enjoy. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. I hope you had a good time. I certainly did. This is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, the only podcast from the end of the web to your screen.